And welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for being in my group, Retrain Your Brain. A lot of it has to do with, how do we get our conscious mind and our subconscious mind to work together in order to get the best performance possible? And it's in athletics. And so I have a 4-day challenge going on. And this 4-day challenge is really about focus and concentration when it comes to athletics, but really across the board. This focus and concentration can help everyone. So, whether you're a parent or a coach, I also hope that you find some value in what I'll be talking about in these 4 days with focus and concentration. But I'm calling this challenge Rest, Rehearse, and Recover. And it's not that we're really resting and rehearsing like a play, but what it is, it's resting your mind. How do we get our mind to fully relax? If there were mistakes, how do we get our mind to concentrate on the task at hand instead of thinking about things that happened in the past? So we have to be able to rest our brain just for a moment. We have to be able to rehearse. And that's where I really believe in the practice that I'm going to be teaching you. Mental strength is a practice, it's not something that comes very naturally. So we have to rehearse, rehearse, rehearse. And there are things, if you're a coach, that you could be doing in the field or on the court, and there are things that athletes could be doing. And if you're a parent, it's just something that you could encourage your athlete to do, or you can notice that they're rehearsing and, like, oh, they're very focused, and just kind of point out those strengths that your athlete is having. And then recover just means if there was some kind of mistake, if there was a bad pitch, or you struck out, or you missed a pass, or your event didn't go the way that you wanted to. You have to be able to recover because the game doesn't stop because there was a mistake. We have to learn to keep going, and that's the recovery part. So, welcome to the 4-day challenge. I'm Jackie. I am a mental strength coach, and I used to say that works with athletes all over the United States, but recently that has changed, and I'm working with athletes and coaches all over the world, which has just been a really, really great opportunity that I just get to see different ways on how even swimming is different in other parts of the world than it is in the United States. So, it's been just a pleasure to be able to work with people, help people in all areas. And I call myself a mental strength coach because I do believe that mental strength gets you to the next level in athletics. My degree is in sports psychology. I graduated from Adams State University. They're one of the best sports psychology programs in the United States. So they really do have a great program, and I'm just very grateful to be a part of that. I have been an athlete myself. I've also been an athletic coach for 20 years. Loved every second of it. I always knew that there was a different edge. I was always great at training athletes, but I was always like, what is that piece that I'm missing? What do I need more? And sports psychology, I would say, is it hands down. Whether an athlete has low self-confidence or high self-confidence, it doesn't matter. Applying any of these strategies gets them to the next level. And so that's why I find so much value in it, that I'm not looking to fix athletes. I'm looking to build them and we're meeting them wherever they're at and build them. So it's just been really, really great. But yeah, coaching for 20 years, it's been fantastic. I'm a swim official. So if I'm not coaching, if I'm not being a parent, then I'm out there on the pool deck, officiating, being in contact with coaches and athletes. I also have 3 kids of my own. And I would say that they're more on the elite level too. And just being a parent and being able to see what they experience and, the tough stuff that they get through and the plateaus. And sometimes there are failures and the heartbreak that comes with it. But how do we as a parent also tell them, we have to pick ourselves up and keep going? Like, don't let this be your defining moment. And so I hope that I encompass everyone who's here and I help everyone who needs it. But again, the challenge is more driven towards the focus and concentration piece of it, of athletics. But the sports psychology is so much more. I just want to dive in a little bit closer because I was reflecting, my daughter just started softball. And I was reflecting on last year when I was at her game. It's 10 and unders. And a coach just starts yelling at these girls, focus, focus. Like he is screaming at them at 10-year-olds. And so I just lean over to my husband and I said, do you think that this coach ever showed an athlete how to focus? Like, how do athletes truly know how to focus? And sometimes I ask those questions because for me, it's very easy for me to, like, oh, we need to work on focus and concentration. I can see it. But when it's a 10-year-old, do they really understand what focus means? And then you have little league coaches yelling at them. And so it just made me step back and I said, I want to do a challenge and educate anybody who wants to know more on how, like, what are the different focuses that athletes have, first of all, and then what are some strategies that they could be working on to enhance that focus and concentration? And when we have resting and rehearsing and being able to recover in our events and in our sports, what happens is we start to naturally build self-confidence, which is something that we want all athletes to have. If they don't have self-confidence, that's where we see them plateau, and then we start to see them backtrack a little bit. So building confidence is really, really huge. And we can do that through focus and concentration. We also look for improvements, right? That confidence is tied into the results. And I am not result driven. I do like results, but I don't have that as the driving force because when we get too fixated on the results, what happens is self-confidence goes down. Confidence is tied into the results. So I reframe things so they see the progress. And that's the most important thing. How are athletes seeing the progress? And when they apply focus and concentration, the focus piece is there. They have certain goals that they're hitting, and then they see the progress, even though they might have lost a game, they might have dropped the ball, they might have missed a catch, you know, all of those things. But they're still seeing the progress, which builds their self-confidence, which allows them to see, like, oh, I am getting better, even though my game still isn't perfect. And a side note, if an athlete ever says that they're perfect, my next question is, are you going to the Olympics in a couple of years? And most of them say, no, not yet. And I'm like, okay, then it's okay to make mistakes. Like, we're not going to be perfect. There's so much to learn, especially when they're young. When we apply focus and concentration, they have better effective self-talk or just positive self-talk in general. So they're talking to themselves in a more positive light. I can't tell you guys how many athletes I work with, and they make fun of themselves or they say that they're not good enough. I went to a seminar with some Olympians, and even though they were very, very great in their college athletics, they were a professional athlete, and then they move on to the Olympics, there's still a lot of self-doubt. They still thought that they were not good enough. And so, you know, we really respect the Olympians and the professional athletes, but we have to have an understanding that this is across the board. These are what our kids think all of the time. You know, like there is a lot of self-doubt, and it's really a small percentage that I see that have really high confidence. Everybody else is going through a lot of self-doubt. So again, this is where mental strength is really important. It benefits anybody across the board, but if they're not using that positive self-talk, they're just going into that self-doubt, that not belief, and then it's going to plateau, and then they're not going to see results, and then they're going to think something's wrong with them, which it's not. We just have to flip the script a little bit. We have to get the focus in the correct space. And then when they have that focus and concentration, they're more likely to take risks, which is going to be really, really huge. That's how we grow. We take risks, we take chances. I know even with my own team, I felt comfortable enough where I told a relay team, I said, okay, we're going to try this race strategy. We're going to see how it works. And it did not work. But were they upset about their times? Absolutely no. They were not upset about it because they were confident in their ability, where they were like, well, I tried it, it didn't work, move on. And that's what this is for. That's what this 4-day challenge is for. excuse me. I think I got really excited. Okay. So, first of all, here's your first lesson. Energy can't be created or destroyed. So, this is what I show athletes, that their energy is like this ball. And this ball is 100% of our energy. And we tell our coaches and we tell our parents and we tell our teammates that I'm giving 100%. Sometimes it's 110% of our energy. This is our energy, can't be created or destroyed, right? But when we start to take our focus and concentration and bring it to other things, we now are only playing with 50% of our total energy. So, you know, there's a reason why when we're playing a sport, we're like, I have so much more energy. I don't know why I played the way that I did. I have so much more energy. I don't know why I didn't go faster. You know, and a lot of athletes are not understanding, I have more to give. Why can't I give it? And it's because of this energy idea. Half of it is leaving. So we have to bring the focus and concentration back. So they are playing with 100% of their focus and concentration. So the next question is, why? Why is some of their energy and focus leaving? Number one reason is because they're focused on things that are outside of their control. They're focused on the refs. They're focused on what their coach is going to say. They're focused on it is what they think parents are going to say. They're focused on the opponent, not so much themselves. They're focused on, oh, what is the other team going to do? And in the end, all of that doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. And so what I do is I tell them, you know, it's like horses with blinders, right? We put our blinders on and we really just focus internally. We bring that focus and concentration to the inside of us and live by our high standards. And so then I ask, what are your high standards? What do they live by as an athlete? Because if we can get them to internally focus on what their high standards are and let go of everything else that's external, we bring that 100% of energy back in. And then they're exhausted and then they're tired. And then they're like, yes, I did 110% and there's nothing more I could give. And that's perfect. Again, not results driven. It's what they can do at that present time. Another thing that, what is the reason for them losing focus and concentration is that they're thinking about what has happened in the past. So again, we want 100%. Their focus is not on the task at hand. So it goes somewhere else. And if they're thinking about what happened in the past, I dropped the ball, I dribbled or not dribbled, but you know, I had refs call this on me and it wasn't even my fault. I had bad refs in the past. I didn't run or swim my best times at the last three meets. So it's going to happen again. So all of these things that are happening that they're focused on leaves them again with 50%. We need them focused on the present moment, the right here, right now. So that's kind of what I'm going to talk about too. How do we get them into the right here, right now? What in the world is going on? And then how does that affect their play? Okay. I didn't create a PowerPoint presentation. I'm just going to kind of talk. I wrote a lot of notes out, but anytime if you have questions, feel free to reach out an email, feel free to write in the comments or post in the group. Because if you have a question, I'm guessing that others will also have a question too. And I just find that this stuff is so important. So this is kind of, this is me not being focused, but I love athletics. I love athletics for the fact that if we have self-doubt, if we don't feel good about ourselves, it's highlighted more in athletics and we can catch it way sooner than anything else, which I really appreciate, right? As a coach, I can see that and I'm like, oh, they think really bad about themselves. And I try not to fix it, but I try to build them up. I try to start to realize or have them realize what they're good at, what their strengths are, because if I'm not doing that, and they don't believe in themselves, what's going to happen later? And I don't have the answer to that question. And I don't know if I want to know the answer to that question. So I find that it's really, really important. If I start to see something in athletics, that means it hasn't hit in other parts of their life yet, but it could. And so when I meet with parents, we talk about, you know, athletic anxiety. We talk about self-confidence. And then my next question is, are they experiencing this in school? Half of them say yes, half of them say no. Okay, because whatever is happening inside of sport, whether it's lack of self-confidence, they're getting very anxious, they're choking or they're under a lot of pressure, eventually that's going to start trailing to other places in their life. So then I'm like, okay, is this happening in school? Is it happening in testing? Usually the question's yes, if it's happening in school. And then I say, okay, where else do you see it? See it in presentations. I see it when they have to work in a group, right? And these are all aspects that they're working in a team, right? They have to work in a group, which is their team. They have to, perform just like a presentation. So a lot of those things start to parallel. And then if it's happening in school, is it going to happen in their future job? Is it going to affect them later on? And so really, I like to start to put an end on any negative feelings that start to happen and start building them up so they can see the greatness that's in every single person, and then allow that greatness to continue to channel through school and through work and through everything else that's going on in their life. So again, mental strength, very important, but I love the piece of athletics. So what happens when we're not focused, right? We are not focused because we are not in the present moment. Two things that keep us from the present moment. One is we're thinking about the past. I made a mistake. I made several mistakes. The mistakes have happened more than once. Here's a little story. I have an athlete right now, and he's doing so well in my 10-week program. He's doing so well, and I'm so proud of him. But he just had a competition 2 weeks ago. Okay, so it was 2 weeks ago. He goes out to his first event, and I asked him, I was like, okay, how did it go? And he said, I had my first event after 1 week of practice. I had my first event, and I swam the exact same time I did at the end of my last season. And I said, oh no, here we go again. That's him with his focus behind him. And I said, okay, what did you do? And he's like, I knew that that wasn't true, that that was a very negative thought in my mind. So what I did is I brought it to the present. Perfect. We have to bring it back to the present, because if he would have continued that way of thinking, three other events wouldn't have gone so well. After he flipped his way of thinking and focused on one event at a time at the task at hand, he PR'd like crazy, got his best times, did outstanding, placed way higher than he was supposed to. Again, the goal was not results driven. It was being able to focus internally. What do you live by? Focus and concentrate on that. Let everything else go. Don't even think about the past. Think about right now. So he started competing with 100% of his energy. Great things happen. But you guys, it does matter what happened in the past, because I believe, that makes you who you are, but that doesn't mean that's who we are right now. Okay, so whatever happened in the past, that does not mean that's who we are right now. So it's really important, like the athletes see, yes, that has happened. We're not going to deny it. We're not going to block it out. It happened. But now we're going to focus on the right here, right now. And I always tell them, you're a little older, you're a little wiser. Okay. The other reason why we're not here in the present time is because we're creating a lot of anxiety by future thinking. Future thinking is thinking about the end of the race, thinking about the end of the competition. Okay, thinking about the end of the weekend. If there's a lot of tournaments, you're thinking about how tired you're going to be. And you're thinking about that last day if you're going Friday to Sunday and you're like, oh, I'm so exhausted, but it's only Friday. It's because they're futuristic thinking. They put their mind into panic mode and now they're creating some anxiety for themselves. And so, again, to get rid of some of that athletic anxiety, we need to pull it in to the right here, right now. An example of huge futuristic thinking. My season begins in August. Okay. So the second day of practice, it's August 9. And my athlete, his shoulders are rounded and he's kicking a stone and he just looks down. He doesn't look like himself. And so I just go up to him and I'm like, hey, what's going on? I know that this is not normal for you. So what's going on? And he goes, coach, I choke every time I go to regionals. This is August 9. He's talking about October 30. Okay. Are we going to have anxiety for the entire season? I hope not. So I just told him, like, whoa, we are living one day at a time. The right here, right now, brought him back to the present. Fast forward, We're at regionals. He has one of the best races of his entire life. And I'm thinking in the back of my mind, like, I remember second day of practice. You were very anxious, futuristic thinking. And so I said, how was the race? And he was like, it was great. I knew what I could do. I had total self-confidence. And I said, did you feel a little nervous at all? He's like, no. I knew exactly what I was going to do, and I was very confident. He was confident because he was focused on the task at hand. Okay, we're not future thinking. There's many different athletes that I've seen future thinking. Think of a basketball game. It's tied. The kid is at the free throw line. He starts to feel all of the pressure on himself. He starts to think about, you know, what if I let my team down? What if I let, that's future thinking. What if I let my home team down? What if I let the community down, right? We have to teach the kids, put your blinders on and live by your standards. What do you believe in? I believe in hard work. I'm going to look at the rim, like I always do, a piece of the rim, whether it's the front of the rim or the back of the rim. I'm going to dribble three times. I'm going to take a deep breath in, calms the nervous system, and I'm going to shoot. All right, very calm, very collected, not thinking about everything else. And again, he's playing with that 100% of energy. That focus didn't go to something he didn't control. He can't control the reaction of his community. He can't control the reaction of his team. What he can do is control what's inside of him. But I've seen many athletes go to that futuristic thinking, whether it's inside a game, inside an event, right? You're shoulder to shoulder with somebody in a competition. Who's going to move forward? It's going to be that person that's focused on what they feel right here, right now, not thinking about the end. So, how do we bring it back to the right here, right now? I'll give you two strategies, and we can practice it right now. So, number one is the five senses. I know it seems silly and it almost seems like kindergarten preschool, but it totally works. So, five senses, let's say that we're thinking about past experiences or we're thinking about the future, right? Something that's outside of our control and we need to focus right here, right now. I ask athletes, what do you hear? They're like, I hear birds chirping. I hear the audience. I hear if it's a pool, I hear water running. If it's a court, I hear the dribbling of a basketball. Okay. What do you see? And I ask them to look at color or shapes. I see a round basketball and it's orange and black. I see a track and it looks red. I see a pool and the pool is really, really dark because it's deep. So it's like a deep blue. Get them to focus on what they see right here, right now. Then go into smell. What do you smell? And they take that deep breath in. I smell chlorine. I smell fresh cut grass. I smell maybe the wax that was put on the gym floor. Okay. Taste is a tricky one. Sometimes, like, there's residue of like the Gatorade that they had, or some kind of goo that they had, or maybe just the refueling pattern. Or sometimes they just say nothing. But at least you're getting them to think about, you know, what do they taste? So I taste the Gatorade that I just had. I taste the granola bar I just had. Okay. And then feel. What do you feel? I feel like the air is cold. I feel the laptop is smooth. I feel the basketball is bumpy. The starting blocks for swim has a rough texture. The track has a rough texture. Okay, so getting to think about the five senses and then go back. And if you practice this with your kids, go back and say, do you feel nervous anymore? And the answer is no. We remove the distraction that's happening and we got them into the present time. Once you get the kids into the present time, then you're able to say, okay, what is your plan? And you focus on the plan. Okay. The second one, five senses, and I'm going to give two because I worked with an athlete yesterday and she said, the five senses, she's like, sometimes I'm too far gone and I cannot come back, and I can't stop thinking about the future once my mind has spiraled down the rabbit hole. And I said, oh, the five senses don't work. And she's like, no. So another strategy is being able to take deep breaths. And I encourage all athletes to practice this every single day. So let's say we're thinking about past experiences, we're at a competition, or we're future thinking. So right away, let's just take some deep breaths. Okay. And if you've ever been next to me when I'm working with athletes, if you've heard me with my own kids, I'm like, okay, take some deep breaths. Because what's happening is the nervous system is being a little shaky. Okay. That means it's a little bit harder to control, which means there's less logical thinking happening in the brain. So as soon as you take those deep breaths, that oxygen puts a cap on the parasympathetic nervous system and it cools off that nervous system. So then you feel less shaky, your heart rate comes down, you're able to have a little bit more logical thinking, and then you can bring yourself back to the present time. So deep breathing is really, really important. If you can get your athlete to practice that at night, that's great because then they get used to, like, oh, I feel very calm. I feel very much in control. And what's another reason why our focus leaves? We're focusing on things we don't control. But breathing, we do control. So again, bring that 100% energy back. We can control our breath, which means that's something we can control. That might be our high standard. So taking those deep breaths in and out activates your parasympathetic nervous system and calms your nervous system, allowing you to have that logical thinking. They are back in control and they're living in the right here, right now. And then another focus and concentration trick that I've been working on is really having a focal point. Okay, so this is more like when you're in competition, if you're batting, right? If you're playing softball or baseball, and you had one strike, and maybe the last time you were in the lineup, you struck out. So you step out of the batter's box and you find that focal point on your bat. So if this bat was my pen, I just find the one spot, right? There's words on it. I find the one spot. I look at the words, take a deep breath in. So this is the rehearsing, right? Take a deep breath in, maybe say a power statement. I'm confident. Step back into the batter's box. Okay. What I've been doing with some runners is, actually touching the physical track, focusing on the event right now. And then if their mind starts to go during the race, look at the lane line. And the lane line, if it's lane zero, if it's between lane zero and lane one, it's usually yellow. And then if it's between lane one and two, it's white. So just pick a piece and look at it. I have other athletes who just look at the back of somebody's head, and that's just their focal point. So again, we want to bring in that, we want to get rid of that distraction that's happening, finding one focal point to look at and being able to look at it and get rid of all the exterior thinking, all the distracted thinking, and just focus and concentrate on that one piece, whether it's something like moving, like somebody's back of the head, it could be your own foot. It could be, like I said, the lane line. Or if you have a moment, even in like football or basketball or softball, baseball, where you can just take a moment, look at one thing, take a deep breath, and tell yourself a power statement. And then that regains your focus. Okay. Breathing is key part, but you want to start building that routine. That's the rehearse part. Okay. So the rest part, right? Rest, rehearse, recovery. Rest is just realizing, like, I need to take a quick break. Okay. If you're a swimmer or a track and field athlete, like that break is after your event and you just find a moment, maybe it's during your cool down, but you just give yourself a little bit of space, give yourself some grace. Okay. Then you rehearse, you take those deep breaths in for a baseball or softball player. You step out of the batter's box, that's your rest. Find your focal point, take a deep breath in, breathe out. This is your routine, this is your rehearsal, and you do this in practice. So then you can incorporate it into a game. You step back into the box, you get ready for your next event, and then you recover, which means you're in the present moment. You're in the right here, right now. You're not thinking about what happened. You're thinking about here. It's really important that they focus on one task at a time. Okay. Even if they have a lot of things going on, they have to maybe play different positions. I always say, you don't know if you're going to end up playing those positions. Okay. I've seen it where an athlete has tournaments all weekend. I'm like, it's not guaranteed that you're going to play all weekend, and it's not guaranteed that the tournament is going to go on all weekend. I mean, I think that's the blessing of COVID. Like, we were so dependent on so many things for so long, and then it was kind of taken from us. So it kind of forced us to reorganize our brain and focus on one thing at a time. Okay. It's not guaranteed. So all you have is this moment in the right here, right now. Take a deep breath. What do you believe in as an athlete? I believe in hard work. Okay. You go and compete, you apply your hard work, and we'll just reevaluate. And a lot of times they are very, very happy with the outcome that happens. So there are four different kinds of focus and concentration. And throughout the 4 days, I'm going to be talking about each one, but just for the education purpose of it, so I can talk about the last little piece about the energetics inside of your body. There's four. One, you have a broad external focus. And so think of it, this is where maybe you're in the outfield. It could be that you're on a basketball court and you're looking out at the court. It could be in football where you're a quarterback and you have to scan the whole field. So broad external, it's outside of you, but you have to scan everything. So your focus is like the size of your computer right now. Okay. The second one is broad internal. Broad internal focus means that you are evaluating everything with inside of you. Internal means that it's turned inside of you. So that means you're thinking about your game plan, your race plan, you're thinking about the strengths that you have. Okay. And so you are internalizing everything maybe you've learned, the plan that you have, but broad just means it's a bigger picture. We're going to talk about smaller pictures, which are the last two. So narrow external. And narrow external is when you're focused on something that's a very, very small part of the game and it's outside of you. So if you're playing basketball, it's you guarding that opponent, right? You're only focused on this one person. Or football, like you're a linebacker or you're a blocker and you're only focused on this one person. For swimming and track and field, it would be like you are focused on your lane or maybe the one person that's in front of you. So that is narrow, right? It's a smaller view. It's narrow in or external because it's outside of you. And then narrow internal is starting to notice the little things that are happening. Narrow internal is like the muscle tension that you're getting, maybe the stomach pain that you're getting. Because of getting a little bit nervous. It's the little things that are happening inside of your body that is just causing you some awareness that like, oh, my focus and concentration is going to the shoulder because it's extremely tight. So that's a narrow internal focus instead of like thinking about a race plan, thinking about your strengths, okay? And so when thinking about those four, I just want to talk about what happens when their physical body is like too excited. It's great to be excited. Excitement and nervousness are the same thing in our nervous system. So instead of kids saying like, oh, I'm super nervous, let's have them flip the script and say I'm excited since it's the same thing in our nervous system. Pre-race excited or pre-game excited because a lot of kids would rather feel excitement than nervousness, right? It's mental, but physically it's the same thing. Everything that's happening is the very same thing. So let's say that they're really, really excited for competition, but they get too energetic about it. Okay. This means that their attention is narrowing and they don't even know what's happening. But when they get too excited and they don't, again, it goes back to control and they don't have a lot of control, their focus begins to narrow. And that's why you see a lot of rushing, right? If they're dribbling and then they lose the ball. And you know that they're rushing, it's because they're too excited. Their nervous system is a little bit too wired. Okay, so that focus and concentration has to go into the relaxation piece, that recovery piece. Okay, taking those deep breaths. Or what we tend to see happen too in track and field and swim is you'll see a lot of false starting. I can't tell you how many people, again, I'm a swim official and I'm also a track coach. I can't tell you how many times I see kids just holding there for a second and then they twitch. They're twitching because there's too much energetics going on and their focus is narrow. They're not, thinking about the broad external, they're thinking about the narrow, and they're too excited. So before competition, to make sure that energetic is low, so they have full focus and concentration in their mind and body, taking some deep breaths. And if your kiddo is kind of resistant to it, or any athlete that you coach is a little resistant to it, then I strongly encourage them to watch any professional athlete and notice what their routine is, which is the rehearsed part of focus and concentration, but notice what their routine is. Every single professional athlete I've ever watched or even been able to work with, they have a routine and it incorporates deep breathing. Okay. And they do that so their body doesn't get too excited. When it gets too excited, our focus becomes narrow, and then they don't even know what's happening. And that's where we see false starts. That's where we see rushing. Okay. And we're always like, slow down, slow down. But they can't think of that because their mind is being blocked, either from not being focused, having too much athletic anxiety going on. They're thinking about the past, they're thinking about the future. Okay, we need them to focus on the right here, right now. So 10 deep breaths allows them to logically start thinking about it, and then they're able to slow the transitions down. They're able to stay calm on the starting block or inside the starting block. Okay. Now, sometimes when they get too focused, like they're like, oh, I'm so laser focused, I can't think about anything else. They start thinking about things that are outside of their control sometimes. When they're too focused, they start thinking about, I wonder what time I'm going to get. And there's an athlete I'm working with right now. He's always like, do you know what place they're in? Like the opponents, do you know what place they're in? Do you know what place they're in? And first of all, yes, I always know what place they're in. But second, I was like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What you're going to do is you're going to focus on your best jump. So tell me what your jump looks like. And he describes it. And I'm like, that's all you have to do. And he places every time. He's made a nationals cut and he places every time. But his mind keeps going, right? We have our energetics. His focus keeps going. What are the other people doing? What are the other people doing? So that's what happens when we're too focused. Like they're so competitive that they start bringing their focus to things that are outside of their control. Bring it back. What is inside of their control? Okay. And so when we focus on what's inside of our control, we start to develop full focus and concentration. So tomorrow, what's going to happen is I will take you through some goal setting and some positive self-talk. And why, when we focus on our goals, and again, get rid of all of the distractions, you're going to see another element brought to their competition that's going to increase their improvements and their positive self-talk, because positive self-talk is tied into how we feel about ourselves. And if we feel kind of crummy, then it's not going to work. But if they focus on how they feel about themselves and the reason why, then their performance gets better. So those are the two things that I'll be talking about tomorrow, with focus and concentration, with the rest, rehearse, and recover. So if you have questions, just drop them in the comments right now or post in the group, and I'm more than happy to answer them. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Thank you for watching, everybody, and take care.